All right, men of Lifegate, so good to be back with you. I am with you, my friends. So good to be back with you. Week three of the February cycle of really what it means to be a man of God, looking at the characteristics that we have as men of God and what we show other people. And this came out of 2 Timothy 3:17, when I was reading it, the words that Paul wrote to Timothy, a man of God who is competent and equipped for every good work. And it caused me to think, what does a man of God actually look like? What does he have that other people see in that man? And that's what we've been talking about. As I said before, there are many characteristics that you can look at, but I was very introspective in this and looked at four areas in my life where I need to improve. Week one, we looked at the fear of God and how that fear is not trembling and dread, but really a reverence and an awe for our Heavenly Father. Week two, we looked at surrender. And if you guys are like me, that is not an easy thing to do. I like to control the outcomes. I like to plan and chart my own path with a lot of this. But we looked at Jesus's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane and surrendering to the will of God. And it's not always going to be easy when we surrender to the will of God. And week three, which we're talking about today, is one of my favorite topics, and that is on being a servant. And with me today, I have an extremely special guest who I'm so glad to introduce to you guys. We have Miss Megan Meyer with us, who has, by the way, an international following of people who love her. So Megan, why don't you start out and just introduce yourself a little bit, tell the men of Lifegate a little bit about who you are.
Hello, men of Lifegate. It's funny, as you're sitting there saying all this stuff, man of God, I'm thinking, who better than to help us learn about how to be a man of God than a woman? No, I'm really thankful and just blessed to be here that you asked me. And our family attends Lifegate Pavilion. Mike Meyer is my husband, and we have three boys, Jackson, Baron, and Madden. So I am surrounded by men, so maybe I do have a good perspective. I don't know. But yeah, I lead women's there, and just love it. Just love it. Been going there for off and on for about 15 years.
Wow, that's fantastic. One of the things that is amazing about Megan is her heart to serve. And that's really why I wanted her to be part of this podcast, because I think we're going to get a better idea, a better perspective of what it means to step beyond ourselves and to serve other people. And I can't wait for this conversation to happen. And part of service really comes about our desire to be more like Jesus. I love this quote from Martin Luther King Jr. It says, everybody can be great. Because anybody can serve. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to have a degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. And that's really the formation and the foundation of serving, is to have this heart full of grace, this soul that is generated by love. And when we think about love, which is really what we're called to do, right? The great commandment to love God and to love other people. That's really our foundation of serving. Mm-hmm. But we live in this world that is often just about us. You know, this me first world. We hoard, we demand, we rush to the front of the lines, we impose our will, we fight to survive. But the kingdom of God is different than that. Jesus says, if you want to be strong, you must be weak. If you want to live, you must die. If you want to be first, you must be last. And if you want to be great, you must serve. So Megan, who in your life has been an example or a motivation for you to serve other people?
Well, Mike and I were actually the outreach people, leaders for Pavilion for 3 years, and when we stepped into that program, we just really wanted to take the people that were inside the church and move them to the outside and start interacting mm-hmm. with people. My husband grew up with a family that would often serve. His grandma was a real big proponent, pusher of you take care of the widows and the orphans. Mm. And she modeled that to him growing up, going on mission trips to orphanages and just caring for people. Mm-hmm. And so I would say through her and also my husband and his family, like it's just been kind of ingrained in them. It's just part of who they are is to serve people. Okay. So, and I just enjoyed being with people mm. and hearing their stories. And I think that's a real big thing. When you get around people and you get around, when you're working with people that you're serving, you are just realized, you know, that it's not just charity or it's not just a thing you're doing, yeah. but you see the humanity of all of that
yes.
and the relation points and it turns into relationship then and not just a thing we're doing, but we're being with people.
And it's valuing those people mm-hmm. as well. It's yes. saying, you know what, you have worth that you might not think you do, but you have worth and you have value in the eyes of Jesus. Absolutely. Especially we're pointing people to see Jesus, but we also get to be that conduit mm-hmm. that says, okay, you have value and worth in this world. We see the need, we step up, we step out, and we serve, not because we're going to score spiritual points. Mm-hmm. Not because, hey, our church is doing this for a day, so we're going to participate in it. We serve because it's who we are. It's who we are as people of Jesus. It's who we are as people of LifeGate. It's who we are as kingdom livers mm-hmm. To step out and serve, to look beyond ourselves and serve others in our pursuit to be the man for the purpose of this podcast, or even the person that God has called us to be. Mm-hmm. So what do you think then, if we had these examples that motivate us to serve, what do you think, or shows us what service is like, what do you think motivates a person to serve?
Well, I think there's a lot of different motivators, mm-hmm. some good, some bad.
Right.
I think like
let's talk about the bad first.
The bad. Of course, let's go to the bad. I think a bad motivation to serve, or a negative one, would be how it makes us look to other people. It's elevating our own self-worth mm-hmm. because of something that we are doing, which is, you know, I think back to a Friends episode that I saw one time about Phoebe was trying to do something that would not give her a good feeling in the end. Like,
you know, Friends is 25 years old right now.
Gosh,
so sorry.
I'm just watching reruns last night. So I know. So let's not talk about that part. But so someone had said to her, I can't remember which character, that you can't do something without receiving something. So she goes all around trying to do these things, but she either gets a good feeling or whatever. And she ends up having a bee sting her and saying, see, I didn't get anything good out of this. But the funny thing was the bee died. So it wasn't really a good act for the bee or anything. But it's just, it shows us that God put that serving element in us. It's something we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And when we fulfill that, we do get a feeling on the inside of gratification mm-hmm. or, you know, those warm fuzzies, whatever you want to call them. But that's not the point. It was never the point to be how it makes us feel. So, yeah.
I think of pride as a huge motivator of why some people might serve. And when we think of pride, I put this definition of pride in there mm-hmm. about being haughty, conceited, feeling superior, arrogant. But really what pride does, it places the focus on our image. And I think of what Megan and I are memorizing the Sermon on the Mount together right now. And I think about what Jesus said in the very first verses of chapter 6. It says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by others. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy or when you serve, do not go and announce it with the trumpets. Look at what I just did. Everybody, look at me. Look at me. I'm washing this person's feet. I'm doing something great for another person. Don't announce it with trumpets. Don't brag about it. But do it in private. So when your Father in heaven sees what you do in secret, will reward you.
Doesn't this feel like countercultural?
Oh, absolutely.
Because think about how much we're told, oh, post your random act of kindness.
Yes.
Like, do that. And mm-hmm. So, like, how do you see that? Like, how do we live in a culture that promotes that kind of, but then go back to scripture and see, okay, but Jesus tells us to do that. Like, because sometimes when someone sees someone do something kind, they're encouraged and maybe they'll act out. So what, like, how would you say, what's the difference there?
I think for me, and we're going to go back further into the Sermon on the Mount, is looking at chapter 5. Mm-hmm. I think eyes are always on us as followers of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think of being light. You are the light of the world. And if light, we're for the light and eyes are always on us, we need to just make service part of our DNA as a follower of Jesus, as a man of God. Service just needs to be what we are about. It's what Jesus was about, right? He said, if you want to be great, you need to go serve. Mm-hmm. You know, when James and John's brother, our mother, went to Jesus and said, hey, I want my sons to be, I want them to be honored. And it comes as this big fight. And, you know, Jesus is like, no, you guys don't get it. If you want to be great, the least, serve the least among you. Right. Or even when he's washing feet, you know, all the other disciples passed the water bowl. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is like, why? So he steps down, derobes, grabs their feet, and starts washing feet. It's just part of who he is.
Yeah.
And so I think as men of God, service has to be part of who we are. It has to be in our DNA as a man of God. It's not an option.
Yeah.
It's what we are called to do.
It's not going to be a Facebook memory that comes up a year from now on this date that, look, this is what I did. It's going, people are just going to know, no, Tim, he's a server.
Right.
He does that. And I think that's the ultimate goal is you're right. Like, it's just part of who we are. It's not a thing that we even think about after a while because we've so made it that much a part of who we are.
Right. And when we are full of pride and haughtiness and look at me, look at me, look at me, we're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're missing it. And we were talking earlier off mic about Ephesians 4:12 about equipping the church, you know, through service to build up the body. You know, so service isn't just about us making us feel good. It's not just about that individual who you serve, but it's about the body. It's about the other people who are going to see, wow, look what Megan just did, or look what Mark just did, or look what Lee just did, or Bill, or Brian. You know, it's about stepping in and just stepping out and being willing to be willing to put somebody else's needs above your own.
Right.
Simply because that's who you are to be, and simply out of love. Jesus said this, right? He said, this is how people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So we cannot miss the component of love in this aspect of serving other people. But there's also another aspect of serving other people, and that is humility. And I love this quote, and speak into it if you have any thoughts, Megan, that from C.S. Lewis that says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less.
It's so good.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's just so good because I think we have gotten it wrong often with the false humility of telling ourselves that we're bad or that, like, you know, you can't have, that you can't have something good about you or that you don't want to talk about anything about any gift that you have or any this or that, like any kind of talking of self. Would be pride, but really it's not that way. God gives us gifts and he wants us to use those and he wants us to step in with those. Just kind of like Fanny Leibscher was saying, if you're not speaking with God, you're speaking against him. When you speak words about you, like, those are true. And so when we have false humility, we tend to want to, like, push those things down but that's not what humility is at all.
So you can have, like, false humility, like Don King, right? Who says that, I never cease to amaze myself. And I say that humbly.
Yeah.
So those two, you know, we see that the truly one person full of humility is C.S. Lewis, who mm-hmm. says to think of yourself less. And I think with humility, it provides with us a sense of freedom as well, mm-hmm. a sense of freedom to stop trying to be something we're not, right. and to step out and treat other people. It's this inner self-forgetfulness and being willing to submit ourselves to be like Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. our servant king, which happens to be what? Our number two life code.
Yeah.
Live like our servant king. Yes. So we're not just telling you something that we as a church don't believe in. We as a church, this is part of our church DNA, is mm-hmm. to live like our servant king Jesus.
Absolutely.
But I think as far as like being a man of God and imitating Jesus in this realm of serving others, we have a tendency probably just to dive right in.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the practices that we need to understand when we go to serving is to understand what our gifts of service are.
Mm.
To not just go in and say yes to everything and then be miserable with what you're doing because it doesn't fulfill you, or that might not be the right word, but it doesn't use your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore you're discouraged, you're not serving in a capacity that really is impacting the body.
You can have burnout.
Burnout, yeah. So one thing, as you guys are looking at areas of serving and being a servant, you have to understand your gifts,
mm-hmm.
where God has created you uniquely to serve the kingdom of God and to equip those people as well. So it doesn't mean saying yes to everything, but it means saying yes to the need that you can fill in another person.
So
we'll ask for a servant's heart and become aware of those are the needs around you.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a few minutes left.
Okay.
What keeps you from serving others?
Ooh. God, I'm going to go there, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go there.
You know, I think oftentimes it's just priority. And
okay.
And really just doing it the one mm-hmm. time. We can busy ourselves,
yeah.
and there are a lot of important things that we need to do, and you know, we have work and home life and all those things that we try to find balance and harmony in. But when we don't prioritize the serving, but we turn around and tell our kids to be a certain way, if they're not watching it be modeled, God calls us to sacrifice.
Yeah.
That's part of our relationship with Him. That He calls us to, like, it's not all going to be easy. We're not just doing it to lead the perfect, comfortable life. When we see a need, when we feel that spark in our soul that maybe somebody needs to reach out and help assert, we need to do it. We need to be a more active people. And I think for me, it's, I can have all the desire in the world, but it's actually taking that action point, like
yeah.
making that step, doing the thing once. Because then once I do it, I can't wait to do it again. It's
right.
like I've taken my oldest son, Jackson, down to the Open Door Mission, and he will go kicking and screaming and, you know, all the negotiating, trying to get out of it. But when we get there and he's with people, he just enjoys himself so much, and because it's that part God put in him.
Right.
And so sometimes I go kicking and screaming, but it's getting to that action point. It's signing up. It's taking that step. Put it on your calendar or, you know, whatever. Like, make the commitment and then do it.
I love the fact that you say it's what God put in us.
Mm.
And as a father of two young kids, it's something that I'm always intentional about doing, is helping our kids see the what God has put into them.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, when they do it and they step out and serve,
mm-hmm.
it creates something in them that, wow,
yeah.
A sense of awe and a reverence for what God has done in them to show and love other people well.
And it's really stepping into part of our identity.
Yeah.
And that's
so true.
You know, that pull, they'll put that pull other places.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
if they don't step into that servant part, they'll put that energy other places. But when you step it, that's stepping into your identity in Christ. So it actually fulfills that part in you. So.
Yeah, you talked about prioritizing it,
mm-hmm.
and that's hard to do,
because mm-hmm.
I'm the type of person who I just like to be alone. Give me a book and a cup of coffee and just leave me alone. But, you know, part of my day off during the week is serving my family. Mm-hmm. I'll reach out to them and say, okay, what do you guys need me to do for you tomorrow? Mm-hmm. What do you need from the store? What do you need for school? What, Aaron, to my wife, what do you need for me to do? And it's usually clean the bathroom. So I'm like, oh, I got to step out and do this for the kids. I'm sorry.
I love that kind of service.
So don't ask your wife. I'm kidding. Ask your wives if you're married about what you can do. But it's really just making yourself available, being willing to step out and step in to the needs of other people, to not be prideful, but to be humble and full of love as we approach those moments. So as we, you guys transition to your table time, we have some questions for you to look at. Like, who in your life has motivated you to serve others? And what do you think motivates that person? I'm sure you look at somebody and it's like, wow, that person just gets it. And the second question is, what keeps you from serving others and being the man of God that he has called you to be? And the next question is, in what ways are you serving others now? And then as you transition into this week, what's one thing you can do to serve another person? Mm-hmm. Seek for those opportunities. Pray for those opportunities as well. Megan, any closing thoughts as we say goodbye to the men of LifeGate Church?
I'm just so thankful you asked. And I'm glad to be here, and I hope that I could add a little bit of something to them. And I'm praying for you all. And you know what? I'm so thankful that we have men coming and joining with each other and talking about these things. It's so important. And so good job, guys. Thanks so much for being the men God calls you to be.
Thanks for joining us, Megan. Y'all have a good week.